The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So don't be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is God's word. And Lizzie's going to preach to us today. So why don't we just take a moment to pray for Lizzie as she shares. Lord, thank you that you're realistic in your word about the cost of what it means to follow you. And we pray that as Lizzie speaks, you'd open our hearts to hear your encouragement, to hear your blessing, to hear your wisdom about how we might follow you through every season of the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So last week, Gareth talked about the people of peace, about going out into the world, going into the neighbourhoods that we live, going into the workplaces, going to the school gates, and telling people about Jesus. And you know, if this stuff has really impacted us, if this means the world to us, if this is the best thing that we've ever done, if this has changed our life, we should be saying this from the rooftops. We should be like proclaiming it, shouldn't we? And you know, as a Christian, I don't know how other people around me live without knowing Jesus. And so I want to tell them about him. But it's all great, but it comes at a cost. Saying yes to Jesus is costly. Now, bad things happen to us, don't they? And that's life. But sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes it's that cost. And we've just read about that. And it highlights some huge costs. Verse 37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. It's pretty hardcore putting him first. But this is one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? I wonder how many of us wake up every morning and say, I'm going to put you first, Jesus. I'm going to do anything that you say and then do it. I know I've got a lot of work to do. Truly putting him first comes at that cost. Jesus is not asking us, is he, to do anything that he hasn't. He paid the ultimate price on the cross for us. So when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying, I'll do whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. I wonder way you guys feel the cost. And all of our journeys, all of our stories will be different. When I look through my journey, I see lots of costs and lots of blessings. But the costs, I remember when Gareth and myself said yes to Jesus, to going to America. And it sounded exciting. And yes, it was really great to go. We had the sunshine. We had the swimming pools. We had this incredible life over there. And it was great to serve this church that we were called to. But it came at costs. And I remember sitting on Christmas Day. Again, it was in the sunshine on the swing chair. And feeling the cost of saying yes to Jesus that day. Because my family were thousands and thousands of miles away. I wasn't with them that day. I felt the cost when I had Toby. I was in a hospital that I didn't know in America. I didn't know how they worked. I'd had two children in England. They'd never heard of gas and air. It was a bit scary. But I felt the cost when I held him in my arms and my mum wasn't there. It's costly. A few years back, I had a difficult time with a person who I'd poured my life into. And they completely turned on me. They lied about me. They made my life really hard. It was a really painful time. Today, many of you know that Gareth and myself are still in temporary accommodation. We're still not in the vicarage. Now, it's been an incredible journey. It's been an incredible, rewarding, amazing time saying yes to him, giving up the life that we had in Stockport, saying that we're going to leave our friends and family, that our kids are going to move schools. That's come at a cost. But shall I tell you, the temporary accommodation actually has been a huge cost for me. Not having pictures on the walls yet, not nesting and getting my cookery books out because they're still in storage. It's been frustrating. The costs look different for all of us. Toby, only the other day, was telling me how some of his friends were laughing at him because he wasn't swearing. They were trying to get him to swear. It costs to be different. Gareth and myself, I remember when we were dating and we decided that we weren't going to sleep with each other. And I remember my non-Christian friends just couldn't understand it. They just thought it was the most bizarre, stupidest thing to do. But that's something that we felt and was important to us. It was our faith and what we believed the Bible said. It cost us. Now, compared to different countries around the world, the cost is very little. When I read about the different Christians around the world being persecuted, my pride, me feeling nervous about people laughing at me, it's not much of a cost. I wonder where you guys are feeling that cost today. Gareth and myself are really aware that planting this church has cost some of you great things, that you've had to give up. You've left churches that you felt comfortable in, left friends. Or maybe it's a cost coming here because you can't watch the football, you can't have a lie-in, or you've got to serve a team and you can't hang out with your friends that day. Maybe you're tithing, whatever it is. Myself and Gareth are just really grateful for you taking that risk and coming here. Sometimes it feels awkward. I know we're small, and please God, and we know that we're going to grow. But sometimes it feels a little awkward here when we're small and you're worshipping, if you've given up a church that was huge. Next week, Rick will be talking about blessings and rewards. That's going to be good. Today feels quite heavy talking about costs. But everything has a price, doesn't it? Jesus called the 12 disciples and he never said that there wouldn't be opposition. You know, I love reading the different heroes in the Bible. I love reading stories about different people who've done amazing things for the Lord. I love reading them. It's so encouraging, but all of them have something in common. They all have their own scars, their own costs. There's a lady called Jackie Pollinger. I read this book called Chasing the Dragon at the age of 18, and I loved this book. It was incredible. This woman got on a boat at the age of 18. She said yes to Jesus and went to Hong Kong. She saw drug addicts. She saw all sorts of people come to know the Lord, and it excited me. But when you read it and when you hear her now speak, it came at a cost. It's exciting. It's amazing, this adventure with Jesus, but it does, it comes costly. So I'm going to give you a few thoughts of what to put in place when it feels costly. One, be real with God. Talk to him. Be honest with him. I love reading all the Psalms where they complain and they cry out to him. I'm a good complainer. But, you know, God knows everything about us, doesn't he? In verse 30, what we've just read, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows all of the stuff about us. But it's really important that we turn that into thankfulness, because we don't want to get bitter and twisted and look into ourselves. And I know that when I've had those deep, dark times, dark night of the soul times, that being thankful is so important. And I remember when I was going through a really hard time, I just went through everything that I wanted to be thankful for. From having a shower and having water in the house, to having a roof over my head, to having clothes, to having children. It was a good discipline to get into. And, you know, I was reading in Acts this morning, reading about the disciples who were in prison and they were worshipping God. I don't know if I was put in prison, if I would be worshipping him. I hope I would. But it's a real challenge. Matthew 5:11, it says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Number two, hold on to him. Read your Bible. It's not rocket science, but it's there to feed you. Again, those dark, deep night, soul-y, hard times of mine, I remember just hanging on to Psalm 91. It was like medicine. I'd just meditate on it. The Bible's there to feed us. Just in the passage that we've read, it says for us to not be afraid 3 times. Lean on him. And Chris, a few weeks ago, he talked about the Holy Spirit giving us that power, giving us that strength to carry on when it's hard, when it's costly, when those around us laugh at us, when they don't understand what we're doing. Last week, I was feeling really down, and Gareth said to me, "Let's pray, Lizzie." And we prayed, and the circumstances didn't change. Nothing changed, but something inside me did. The Holy Spirit did something really deep. Gave me that peace, gave me that strength, gave me that hope, gave me that faith to carry on. And you know, holding on to him is not holding on to unforgiveness. We need to forgive. It was really important that I forgave that person. And it was a long journey. And it was hard. And I had to light a candle at the beginning because I couldn't vocally forgive that person for what they'd done to me. But eventually, I was at a place where I could forgive. If I'd held on to that unforgiveness, where it was unfair, where I couldn't understand why they were talking about me like that, why they were lying about me, why they were spreading that stuff about me in the community, if I'd held on to that, it would have made me so bitter and twisted, and I could see it doing it. It was really important that I forgave. Holding on to him. Number three, trust him. It's really easy, isn't it? to breeze our way through life and to hold on to him when it's easy. But it's really, really hard when we're feeling that cost. But you know, I don't think I'll turn back the clocks on the hard times. When I look at the costs, when I look at the times when it's been difficult, I don't think I would, because it shaped my character. It's made me who I am. And for all of us, that's where the Lord can really work through us and in us. I was texting a friend the other day about just life stuff, and she texted me back saying, "I sometimes wish character could be built on eating fried chicken or ice cream." And I certainly, you know, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? But it doesn't. That doesn't build our character. The hard stuff does. And it's trusting him to keep going, to keep trying. And, you know, I've got a shelf of mistakes, a huge amount of mistakes. And I love reading in the Bible of all the different people who've made mistakes, and they're my heroes. I love reading that Peter denied Jesus 3 times because it makes me feel better. Because that just is us, isn't it? We mess up. But God can help us through it, and he can always turn it into good. Romans 8:28, I love it. Love this verse. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." Number 4, get perspective. Get the bigger picture. Help. You need help with others to help you. He sent the disciples in pairs for a reason. And that's why us guys are encouraging connect groups, which saying you can't do this on your own. Don't just come on Sunday and go out into the world. You need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to remind each other what the purpose is. You know, we will get rewards on earth, but our treasures are in heaven. And we're called to surrender to him first and put him before anything else. But we need each other. We need each other to not compare. I'm, you know, a real, you know, my weakness is looking at Facebook and looking at other people's lives on social media and thinking, I wish my life was like theirs. Theirs looks a lot easier. You know, I'm one of those people that will have the big tantrum, you know, with Gareth behind closed doors. But why isn't our life like that? Their life is so easy. It's so easy, isn't it, to look to the left, to look to the right, and not focus on what the Lord's called for us, for our journey. So easy to compare, but we need others. We need others in our small groups and our connect groups, excuse me, to say, don't look at that. Don't look at that stuff. Focus on Jesus. Focus on him. We need not to take it personally. These battles, you're doing something right, the more costs that come. When God is at work, the enemy will try his best to mess things up and make it really difficult for us. And I think for us today, what I would say is, let's not be people pleasers. Let's be Jesus pleasers. And that's a real challenge to me. Real challenge. But let's focus on what Jesus is calling us to, not looking at what other people are doing or what other people are saying. But God can give us the strength when it feels costly. Should we just spend a little bit of time in silence and in prayer? Just asking him what he wants to say to us through this. Now, I'm aware for some of us this might sound a bit weird, me saying all of this. You've never heard something like this, or you don't know Jesus. We'd love to chat and pray with you or invite you to Alpha. But for those of us where the Lord's stirring stuff up, maybe he wants us to recommit. Maybe he wants to break the fear of speaking out about Jesus. Maybe some of us need to ask for a new confidence in him, asking the Holy Spirit to give us that confidence to speak out. Some of us may be feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit, just saying, don't want you to do that anymore. Don't be a people pleaser. Be a Jesus pleaser. For some of us, maybe just be feeling the cost right now, and maybe it's a really costly time, and you're feeling weary. You just need to know God is with you. So Jesus, just come. Holy Spirit, come.